Revelation chapter 3, we've been looking at the word. It's only three times in the Bible. I found that amazing. The word misery is seven times in the Word of God, but the word miserable is only three times in the Word of God. The first time was with Job and his friends. He said, miserable comforters are ye all. The second time is where we looked at, that was Wednesday night, where we looked at this morning in the book of Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most, what's the word? Miserable. And tonight, I want to look at Revelation chapter 3 and bring the message concerning the church at Laodicea. If you have your Bibles, it's verse 14 of chapter number 3. We'll begin reading there, read down through verse number 22. Really pray for my voice tonight. My daughter reminded me that I was doing some woodwork yesterday and in a lot of sawdust. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or if it was just leaving all my guts on the platform this morning that had all to do with it. But anyway, pray for my voice that it'll hold up tonight. The Bible said, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Can I remind you of this? He always has the final say. This world needs to realize that. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, watch this now, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of, what's that word? Don't need anything. I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and, what's the word? Miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus said to this church, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I love these two words, I will. God said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If correctly read, that's verse 14 down through verse 22. Pray with me a moment, would you please? Father, thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight that, Lord, you're still speaking. Lord, I thank you for our people. I thank you for our church. I thank you for our country. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to live in America. God, I pray you'd help our country. I pray you'd help our churches throughout the land, Lord. Many of them tonight, our Father, are miserable. They're in a wretched condition. They're lukewarm. God, I pray tonight you deliver us from such a condition. Help us, our Lord, that our hearts may ever be set aflame for thee. Lord, I do pray tonight, as Brother Don comes next Sunday, Lord, we begin the homecoming revival. God, we invite you into our midst. We know that we need you in our midst. We know, God, that nothing of eternal value will be accomplished except you do it. God, you've been good to us. Help us, our Lord, that we don't get in a state of coldness and complacency and lukewarmness. Help us to seek your face. Lord, we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The message started with Job with the miserable comforters, and there was no help. You remember over there in the book of Psalms, David said, I looked on my right hand, and no man cared for my soul. This morning we looked at the misery of no hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. How many's glad there's something beyond? The best is yet to come for the children of God. I promise you that. Amen. Tonight, what I want to look at is a misery and a miserableness in verse number 17 that comes as a result of no humility. From what I'm reading here tonight, and I hope before I get done preaching, you will agree with me, there's a church that's full of pride. There's a church that thinks they can do it on their own. God help a preacher that thinks he can preach without Jesus. God help a Sunday school teacher that thinks they can teach a class without Jesus. God help a deacon, Brother Ralph, that thinks he can be the kind of deacon he ought to be without Jesus. God help every Christian to think that we could ever think that we could be the kind of Christian we ought to be in and of ourselves. We know better, don't we? Amen. How many believes we need him more every day that we live? As we near the coming of the Lord, I believe we need him more, and I believe we need each other more. And I'm looking forward, beloved, listen, to gathering with the Lord. But I'm glad that here, right now, I look forward to gathering with his people. I wonder sometimes, Brother Sam, how people think they're going to enjoy heaven when they can't even enjoy a little bit of it down here. The singing, the fellowship, the worship, the praising, the preaching of the Word of God. What I'm going to do tonight is look at this misery. Look at how come it comes about in this pride. You remember that the Bible said that God resists the proud. If you want God to do that, just get caught up in your pride. But he said he gives grace to the humble. Brother Thurman and I were talking today at lunch and ran into each other and we're reminded of the verse over there in the book of Proverbs. These six things doth the Lord God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one was a proud look. And the last one was he that soweth discord among the brethren. I believe really in the original sin, pride got in the way, don't you? Well, let me just go back before the original sin on earth, there was the original sin in heaven. When the devil, when Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God, and the big I got in the way. And then he was subtle, as Brother Steve taught us in class this morning, and he came to Eve, and he convinced Eve that she was missing out on something by not taking, that she could be like God if she had just eat of that fruit. And we've been in trouble ever since. The misery, let me give you three statements tonight. We won't be here long, Lord willing, but let me give you three statements out of this text that God gave me. In verse number 15, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The misery of no humility, let me say this, will have an effect on the condition of the church. If we're full of pride, the condition of the church is going to change. Amen. You see, I think even sometimes, Brother John, I go back to a statement. You've made it several times, teaching Sunday school and preaching. Brother John, you said, I may not get it exactly right, but something like this. We might not be in doing as good as we think we are. Is that pretty close, Brother John? We might not be doing quite as good as we think we are. You see, here's the church that they said we're rich. They said we're increased with goods. They said we have need of nothing. But beloved, they weren't doing near as good as they thought they were doing. They had their eyes on the wrong thing. So when there's no humility, when there's pride, it's going to have an effect on the condition of the church. I want to read you something tonight just to show you where we're at. I hope this will be a blessing. I hope it'll also challenge your heart to where I'm coming from tonight. The title of this, it's by Timothy C. Tennant, was "Where Have All the Wretches Gone?" You remember the song "Amazing Grace," how sweet the sound that saved a like me. How many is aware that in recent years, a couple of decades now, that they don't like that line, so they want to change it? They'll say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved such a one as I," or something like that, or "such a one as me." They don't like that. Let me read you something that I think will help to explain this, and I believe it comes about by a pride. This past Sunday, the congregation sang the wonderful hymn by Stuart Townsend, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Townend is one of my favorite contemporary British hymn writers. If you haven't discovered the hymns of Stuart and Keith Getty, Christopher Idle, or Timothy Dudley, I don't know anything about these. You have missed some real treasures. The contemporary hymn writers have put out a body of work which is, for the most part, theologically solid, musically strong, sensitive to the rhythms of the church year, Trinitarian and worshipful. There's a line in Townend's "How Deep the Father's Love for Us" hymn which says, "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure." If you remember correctly, Hannah sings this song in our church. How many remembers it now? She sings the song and does a great job. "How vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure." The most well-known examples are well-known hymns, "Amazing Grace" and "Victory in Jesus." The phrase "that saved a wretch like me" and "Amazing Grace" to save a wretch like me in "Victory in Jesus" have been rendered in some modern hymn books to save one just like me. It seems that we just don't like the word "wretch." It is entirely too negative for modern sensibilities. So there I was singing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us" when I noticed that someone had changed the last phrase from "to make a wretch his treasure," they changed it to "make us all his treasure." It took over 200 years for people to start meddling with John Newton's classic "Amazing Grace." Stuart Townend is being deconstructed and recast in about 10 years. The problem is, until we really come face to face with our own sinfulness, our naked wretchedness before God, that we can never begin to comprehend the holiness of God. We're living in a generation, folks, listen, that are not aiming to show us what we are and show us who he is, but they're aiming to bring him down here to a level that he's not coming to. He already came down here, listen, and became a man, but he was holy, harmless. He was the Son of the living God. The problem is, until we really come to face with our own sinfulness, our wretchedness before God, that we can never begin to comprehend the holiness of God. I mean, he believes he's still holy tonight. There's a direct relationship between the comprehension of our sinfulness and our vision of God's holiness. So I encourage you to think about the theological implications which quietly lay behind changing the words to hymns. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a whole lot worse than that. They're changing this word every day. You know what I believe tonight? I believe if there's a man in this church that would come up here and say, "Preacher, I think we need to take this Bible out, or this verse out, or this word out, or change this," you know what you would be doing? You'd be standing there in your pride. Say amen. And saying that you know more than God knows. And that God didn't have enough grace to preserve his word to every generation. And I know that he did. The word of God is not the problem. We don't need some man fixing the word of God. We need the word of God fixing men. That's what will work. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it again. If you haven't heard the message that Brother Don preached on the parable of the mustard seed, you need to go online, go to our website and listen to it. I'm telling you, Brother Sam, I'm telling it right. It's precious, is it not? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen to me. There are people today, you say, "Preacher, why do they want a junk wretched?" I'll tell you why. Because they're more interested in their pride, in their crowd, than they are the Christ that bought us and paid for us on Mount Calvary. You say, "Preacher, are we really wretched when we come to Christ?" Yes, we are. You say, "Well, preacher, I was just a boy when I got saved. I was just a girl. How wretched could I have been?" How about this? If a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of all. By the way, beloved, I believe that's what Holy Ghost conviction is when God loves us enough to throw the book at us and we don't come popping our chewing gum and think, "Well, I done this little thing or this little thing. Maybe I done something wrong," but we understand there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun, and Calvary is the only way that we can make it to heaven. It comes about through a guilt, understanding that we're guilty before God. Understanding that there's no way to be forgiven apart from the cross. I encourage you to think about these implications. The hymn, "The Church's One Foundation," was written in 1866 by Samuel Stone. One of the lines goes, "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died." In 1983, there was a man by the name of Lawrence Stuckey. He updated it, and it tells in what hymnal, and the result was the following. "From heaven he came and sought us, that we may ever be his loving servant people, by his own death set free." I don't understand it, people, other than to say this tonight. When there's no humility, the pride is going to have the way, and we're not willing to admit what we are in the presence of who he is. What can we learn? I'd love to hear from you. I'm telling you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that we can learn that the church today has a problem. The church as a whole, beloved, I'm talking about in this world, don't want to line up with the word of God. So the misery of no humility will have an effect on the condition of the church. Secondly, tonight, the misery of no humility will have an effect on the conscience of the church. Let me tell you something right now. A church that'll put a sodomite in a pulpit has lost their conscience. Did you hear what I said? They have completely lost their conscience. How could you have a conscience before God and do that, knowing what the Word of God says? A church that would think, "Look, we've got everything. We're rich. We're increased with good," has lost her conscience and doesn't understand their need of Christ in the midst. I'm telling you, beloved, Jesus is found later, we're going to see, standing on the outside, knocking, desiring to come in. You say, "Preacher, why would you preach that in our church?" Because only by the grace of God will we make it from right here to where he is without becoming the same thing. Only by the grace of God, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. You say, "Preacher, why do you say they lost their conscience?" Well, watch this now. Look at these words with me. "Thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing." What's the next three words? "And knowest not." They did not even know
their condition. Is that right or is that wrong? They did not even know. One preacher said it like this. He said, when the rapture takes place, a lot of churches are going to meet business as usual. They don't even realize that he's no longer in the midst. He's been grieved to the point that he's now on the outside desiring to come in. You say, preacher, can it happen? Not only can it happen, it has happened. And I'm going to tell you, it's a miserable condition. It's one thing to be miserable and know it. Help me tonight. It's another thing to be miserable and not even know it. Not even know it. It has something to do with the conscience. I thought about the songwriter. It said, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Quite often in prayer, I ask God to bless me. You say, preacher, that's so selfish. Well, that's not where I stop. I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't be a blessing to them if you don't bless me. I'm going to get out of bed in the morning. And I'm going to ask God to make my life a blessing to somebody. That is, unless Jesus comes tonight, I won't get out of bed in the morning. Amen. Or if he comes for me tonight. But if it goes like it normally does, I'll get up in the morning. Ask God to bless my life. That I want to be a blessing. How many wants to be a blessing to somebody else along life's way? I need thee. Oh, I need thee. The third thing I want to give you tonight, I'm almost done. There's the misery of no humility. It has an effect on the condition of the church. It has an effect on the conscience of the church. But I want to give you this tonight. It has an effect on the counsel of the church. You say, preacher, where did you get that? In verse number 18, Jesus said, I counsel thee. There are places everywhere that will never open this book on a Sunday. Did you hear what I said? They got a little leaflet with man's ideas. They've got it recited. I'll say this. There's preachers in America. They don't get their messages from right here. They get on the internet and get somebody else's. I'm going to tell you something. I can get a seed thought anywhere. What I preached last Sunday night, I got the seed thought just listening to the radio on the way to church. But I'm going to tell you, I believe God takes his word and makes it real in our hearts. Miserable. Miserable. And they didn't even know it. The misery of no humility, pride will have an effect on the counsel of the church. Let me give you this tonight. Look at it right here in the Word of God with me. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. First of all, the counsel concerning righteousness. Beloved, you see that garment right there? The Bible said that white raiment. Did you know tonight that it's not being preached and taught everywhere that the only way that you can be righteous before God is to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed into your life? Amen. There are people that think because they get dipped in a water hole or because they sign a card or join a church or because they give in the offering or because they do this or do this or don't do this or don't do this, they think they're right with God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. When you get away from the Word of God and when you get away from being humble before God and dependent on God, you get away from the counsel of God, and the counsel of God is, except you be born again, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Can't even see it. And yet we have a world just like this church right here, eat up with pride. Eat up with pride. Where's the preaching on hell? Where's the preaching on sin? Not only the effect on the counsel concerning righteousness, but what about the counsel concerning repentance? Look at it right here. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and what's the word? Repent. Brother Steve, am I right? You've traveled. You listen to a lot. And that's good. Who would have ever thought in our generation, I'm talking about among fundamentalists or so-called fundamentalists, who would have ever thought that repentance would be in question? I'll tell you something right now, beloved. This is being written to the church. It's not being written to a sinner. The Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. It's not just sinners that need to repent. The saints of God need to repent as well. Amen. I believe that's if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. But we're living in a generation that don't want to hear anything. Listen about repentance. Oh, you just say this little prayer, you say these words, or you do this little thing, and it don't matter how you live. I'm going to tell you, it does matter how you live. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. You say, preacher, nothing's ever changed in my life. Then you've never met Jesus. Because it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. Amen, Brother Jim. It changes when you meet Jesus. God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. God will change your life. He'll change your want-tos. It's called repentance. Not only concerning repentance and concerning righteousness, but if we'll repent, there's a couple of things that will happen. Number one, we can escape chastisement. I don't believe the Lord whoops the devil's children. But I believe if you belong to him and you get out of line, I believe he'll speak to you. I believe he might speak to you again. But he might be like my daddy. He might not speak but once. Daddy didn't do a lot of talking. Mama talked her head off, but daddy didn't do much talking. Mama whooped me every day. I don't remember one of them. Daddy whooped me 4 times and I ain't forgot one of them. Brother Danny Sykes said one time the difference between a whipping and a whooping. He said a whipping's 2 or 3 good licks. He said a whooping's 2 or 3 licks shy of eternity. A whooping. I'm going to tell you something. God can put a whooping on his children. I believe if you've been saved and you love him, you fear him. Not backing up in the corner and trembling, but knowing that he's holy. And knowing there's some things he's just not going to put up with. He loves us. We can escape chastisement. Second thing, we can enjoy his presence. Think about that. Watch what the Bible said here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, we can enjoy his presence. His presence here. Only in humility can we hear his voice. We've done quoted the scripture, God resisteth the proud. We're not going to hear the voice of God if we eat up with pride, but if we humble ourselves. Lord, I want to hear from you. And only in humility will we experience his presence. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he said, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Not only can we enjoy his presence here, but we can enjoy his presence in the hereafter. I want you to think about this. It never really gripped my heart till I was reading it this afternoon. Look at verse 21. To him that overcometh. How many remembers in the book of the Revelation how that we overcome? Somebody tell me if you know. When it's taught in the book of the Revelation, they overcame him by? Who said that? Who said that? That's exactly right. That's how we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's pretty good, ain't it? Let me ask you something. If we don't want to sit with him down here, what would make us want to think we'd want to sit with him over there? Help us, Lord. His presence hereafter. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.